get this show on the road.
Headphones.
And I'm gonna
testing,
turn the
testing,
music.
Testing.
Even if my dreams fall to the ground, even if I'm lost, I know I'm found. Even if my heart will somehow say hallelujah anyway.
And welcome to the first ever episode of the podcast Supper Time, where we will be diving into the adventures, joys, and challenges of an entrepreneurial life with our family. I'm Drew Trembley, and on this amazing venture, I'm joined with my amazing, beautiful, and talented wife, Jillian.
Hey, y'all, and I'm over here with my hunk of burning love husband, Drew.
That will never get old. Well, on Supper Time, our mission is very simple. Our goal is to dive into the beauty and chaos of life of an entrepreneurial family while hopefully inspiring others to chase their dreams and better their family's future. And if you know us, there'll be a lot of laughs along the way.
Thanks to me.
So if you're a parent, if you're a spouse, or if you're just someone that's trying to navigate the ups and downs of life, we encourage you to join us on this adventure into the unknowns of starting a business as a family. Sit down and learn from other successful entrepreneurs and follow us as we pursue a life God's way.
We just wanted to kind of, if you picture your family around the dinner table, the conversations you have, questions might come up. That's kind of what Supper Time with the Trembleys is supposed to represent.
The best conversations happen around food at a dinner table.
Yep. So that's where our topics will kind of just span from and come from, and hopefully inspire others like we inspire our children.
That's I actually thought when I first thought about doing this was having guests over, creating like maybe like their favorite meal growing up and eating together as we're doing this. But I couldn't imagine what the sound of eating in a microphone
would
sound like.
Oh my gosh, I would never listen to the own podcast.
Yeah, probably not.
Okay. You got to tell them why do we have this podcast equipment, Drew?
So I used to work in the corporate world and in corporate sales. And if you know anything about corporate sales, a lot of these companies have incentive trips at the end of the year that you can earn. I was lucky enough to earn that a few times. And one time was during COVID and no one was going on trips in COVID.
So they gave options, you guys. They gave options. They said, hey, Drew, you've earned a trip, but we're not going anywhere physically. So here's a list of options of different packages you could have.
Yeah, they had trip options.
Either. We could have done Hawaii, a 3-day trip to Hawaii with a helicopter ride.
They also had COVID options, at-home options. Like I could have gotten a Peloton bike, could have gotten an espresso machine.
Oh,
look at us now.
Missed the calling there.
But I said to myself, I'm going to get something I will never spend my actual money on. And I got podcast equipment.
You know what's funny, though, is this is exactly what you would spend your actual money on.
She might have a point. That's true. That's true.
Drew is very entrepreneurial. He's always had that mindset. And this lines up with that. Not a trip to Hawaii. To him, he's like, can't make money off that.
That's true.
And I have to spend money? Forget it.
Yep. So to start every episode, if it's just me and Jillian, maybe we'll have to think of a different meal every single time. But with our guests, we're always going to ask the question, what was your favorite childhood meal?
I'll start. Okay, so I grew up very traditional meat potatoes. That was our food. We definitely did not go out to eat very much. We ate at home as a family almost every night, which is awesome. Just to be able to do that. I feel like that doesn't happen very much nowadays. And I will say that I got these beautiful steaks and potatoes. I didn't like mashed potatoes, so my dad would make me a baked potato every time. I was a little spoiled. Hamburger helper, you know, we had it all. But you know what was always stood out to me as special is when it was taco night, which is funny, but I loved the little bowls of lettuce and cheese, and it felt like it was such a different meal than we normally had. That taco night was probably my favorite.
That sounds
family
awesome
meal
right now.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. It just felt different.
Now, I knew I was going to have to answer this question, and I had to come up with something. I was literally just talking to Jillian about this a little while ago, and my parents are going to shoot me when they hear this. I just don't have the biggest memories of my childhood. Like, if you were to ask me, who's your favorite teacher? Like, I don't even remember my teachers.
I can name all of mine. So, probably.
I mean, I do. Miss McNulty was my calculus teacher in high school. But
was she your favorite?
She's really the only one I can remember.
so she must have done something right. Awesome.
As I grew up, my mom makes this wonderful oriental chopped chicken salad that I don't remember having that as a kid.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So.
Maybe next time I'll remember something.
Yeah, you gotta do better.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, you're probably gonna need to get to know us, learn a little bit about us because you're gonna be hearing from us a lot. So would you like to introduce yourself?
I am Jillian. As stated previously, I am Drew's wife. We've been married for 13 and a half years. It'll be 14 this year, which is just crazy. And I always grew up I have two brothers, and I grew up hanging with the boys and skateboarding, playing video games, you know, sinking each other in the pool, you know, borderline drowning, you know, that kind of fun stuff. And so I always was like, teen boy, I want to be a boy mom. And
all her dolls and babies were named after boys' names.
Yes, all my babies were boys. and I just really, I thought that I was going to have like boys. And I have three daughters, but I think the rough, tumbling Jillian from my past has made me a perfect girl mom because, you know, I'm a little tougher than these chicks. Throw it at me, girls. And I think, too, I don't really give in to a lot of their emotions. I mean, every woman, like we do, you know, hormones are a thing and emotions. So I'm not like immune to all that. But I definitely deal with like the drama a little differently than I feel like most of my friends with sisters.
And to the girl dads out there. I was just convinced that, yes, I have three girls. Right now they're 9, 6, and 4. And everyone's like, well, wait till they're 14. So in my head, I'm thinking, all right, yeah, 14. That's when the emotions come out. That's wrong.
No.
It's here now. Yeah. It's now. Like you, Jillian's famous comment to me is, it was your tone.
It's not what you said. It's how you said it, Drew.
Yeah, yeah, I hear that a lot.
And I can see it happening when he's talking. And then he looks at me and I'm like, you did it wrong, man. You said it wrong with the wrong tone.
You can't say that. I'm like, I didn't say anything. It's not what you said. It's your tone.
Yep. We are navigating life with three daughters. It's been wonderful. It's amazing. Adventure for sure. We are blessed to be given this challenge. I didn't attend college. Turns out you do not need a college degree to host podcasts. Yeah. No one's checking that. I grew up really just wanting to be a mom, and I did that a few times. So really it's like I have my master's, you know, in momming and what my goals were. Yep. I've hit it.
Yeah. We're started from the bottom. Now you're here.
Yeah, I went for it. Yeah. Anyway, so that's a little bit, I guess, of a rundown of me. Not too detailed. We'll get there later.
Yeah, you'll hear a lot about her.
Anyway, so let's hear a little bit about you, Drew.
Yeah, I wasn't anything special growing up. I was an athlete. I was a competitive swimmer for 12 to 13 years. And then I went off to college in Nebraska. And I went into college as a elementary education major. And I graduated. And I'll steal this line from my grandpa. As he would say about, I think it was 1948, 2010 was a great year because I got married, graduated college, and got my first job. Actually, that year too, I moved Jillian out to Nebraska. I remember you transferred out there from working in a restaurant here, Chili's, to working at Chili's there.
Woo woo, Chili Hoods.
Yep. And I remember the first winter, and she had to go to work, and she came over and asked me, hey, could you drive me to work? And I looked outside.
It looked scary out there, guys.
Yeah, it was really scary. It was a scary winter. There was probably like an eighth of an inch of snow.
It was just, it was flurries. And they were blowing across the road.
Yeah, yeah. It was cold, too. So she stuck my parka on and drove her to
work. It was cold.
Yep. So then I taught in Nebraska for about 6 years. We moved back to California to be closer to family, 2015-ish. And then somehow I got brought into the world of sales. I joined a national window and door replacement company and loved it and kind of just started working my way up the ladder and thought it was I thought it was great. You know, I was making a lot of money. I went from sales rep to sales manager. I was managing a group of about 35-ish middle-aged, mainly men, using the same skills I learned as a sixth grade teacher. It was no different, really. They're just more stubborn and opinionated. And I thought it was everything. You know, every time I moved up the ladder, I made more money. I thought that was going to be my life. I learned from my dad at a very young age on how to work hard. And I was going to keep working hard, making more money, getting a bunch of accolades. And, you know, about 5-6 years into that, I started to think, well, as I'm doing this, I'm supporting my family. I'm doing things for my family that I never thought possible.
Me and the girls were living the dream. We had the income. We had the adventure. We had the time, but we didn't have like the missing link, which was Drew, which makes everything obviously so much better to get to experience all the things and all the first. I mean, some people don't even get to experience that with their kids anyway, if they're like off at school and stuff. For me, like I got to experience it all, and it was kind of like Drew was missing out on that. And just our perspective on success had shifted. I feel like you grow up thinking, I'll be successful when I make X amount of money. You know, it's like it's always been a dollar amount that I think people strive for. Like, I need this job and I need to make this much money. And you do need a certain amount of money to survive, for sure. And then a certain more over that if you live in California. And a little bit more than that if you want to do anything extra. And so, yes, like, you need to be in somewhat, you know, financial stable situation. But for us, it was like, wealth really comes from time. Mm-hmm. And you can't ever get that back. There is like, life is so fast. And it's so crazy how you can go from like, you know, you think like, oh, life, especially when you have kids, it just zips by. And, you know, we're looking at Remy and I'm like, she's halfway through her childhood. And honestly, like the next 9 years from the first nine are gonna be a world different. The first nine are kind of fun. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard in a different way, but they're so innocent. You're their favorite people. And then the next nine, I mean, I hope that stays, but I think reality is it's a little different. They're coming into a whole different world within themselves. We just really wanted Drew to get to be a part of that.
That was a big thing too for me about we finally, you know, when we had the idea of needing to change something, we still stuck around in the same life for a couple of years. It was comfortable. It was easy. Sundays were not that great of a day because I knew Monday was coming, but I would just do it. I'll just keep doing it because it was comfortable.
And he was in a position where he was on call. So it kind of was like, even when he wasn't at the office, he had a job to do at home. So that felt like even more. It was like he can never turn off fully his brain and be separate.
Mm-hmm. When you have kids, you are responsible for who they are going to become. And there's no reset button. Once they're 18 and they leave the house, or 20 or 26 or 40, whenever they leave the house, you don't get a second chance. And I strongly believe that who they become has, you have a big weight in that. Now there's different influences they'll have. They'll have friends and all different kinds of things, but you have a big say in who they're going to be. And so as of January 2023, we finally said, no, we need to put a date on the calendar that will be your last day or we're never going to do it. So we said, all right, July was my last day of work.
We also thought we were moving. So that made it easier for Drew to put in his last day of work and really like rip the Band-Aid off. Okay, we're going to move and we're going to start something new and we can do this. Like, we needed that new location to give us a jump into, okay, like we could be brave, you know, because we're going to move. And then we'll have time and we can figure that out. And then it was like God put in both of our hearts separately, you're not supposed to move. And I remember, because we were definitely leading that way, we had a house lined up to rent, and we were figuring that out and working with a realtor. quitting his job and just looking at all of our options. So then it was like, I started to feel like, oh no, we're not supposed to move. And each of us, I'm sure, probably didn't want to tell the other one. Yeah. I know you're excited for this. And we have family out there. And one of my, you know, cousins who is like my best friend and like a sister to me. I mean, I would love to live close to her. We had a lot to look forward to. So when I started feeling that way, I was also thinking of letting down family because I'm like, no, we were like planning out our whole next lives, you know? And then also to tell my husband, but we both ended up kind of coming to each other. I don't really remember how it happened. Like if it was him, me, both of us, I might have prompted the question of like, how are you feeling about moving? and so we just felt like God was telling us to stay. But I truly believe that the desire of our hearts to move was really God kind of putting us on the path to what he had for us, which was to be home and with our family more, to start our own business and kind of jump into this other thing. And it's like God knew there's no way Drew's just going to quit. Mm-hmm. But I definitely feel like God placed that in our heart. And it's like we had a decision to make to have faith steps and trust in him. And it was like we could sit back and say we feel God in this and that he's calling us to it. But we had to take the action. We had to take the faith steps. We had to step outside the boat, walk on water, and keep our eyes on Jesus and trust him. And that's really what I felt like we have been doing in this season.
And what's hard about that too is as you make big decisions like this that you feel are the right way to move, you have a lot of influences in your life, your family, your friends, everyone that's around you. No one wants you to fail. No one wants you to do the wrong thing. And it's easy to not fail if you stay in the comfort zone. And so a lot of people think you should probably stay in the comfort zone. And it was really interesting that you just brought that up because there's a big influence in my life. I would call him a big role model in my life that we were literally just talking about this, about Peter and getting out of the boat and walking on water. And he kind of flipped the story on me and said, what people don't talk about is what Peter was leaving. He was getting out of a sinking boat. You know, the other 11 were still in the boat. Your community is still in the boat where they feel safe, but that boat wasn't safe. That boat was sinking. Not only was he stepping out in faith, but he was also leaving something behind that could have sunk and taken him down. Not saying that if I would have stayed where I was, we would have sunk and fallen, but we don't know.
Well, it's like people love you and they want you to be successful. But when you're doing something that seems outside of the box, and a lot of people try stuff and it fails. And I think that that's just the thing. And both of us, I think, can take that kind of criticism from family and friends, and we're not swayed. But that's because we're strong in our faith and we know what God's calling us and walking us into. And so it's like, I love you. Thank you so much for the advice. But this is what we're supposed to do. And I think that made us feel confident in our decision. But that's another reason to keep focused because there's always going to be outside influences. There's always going to be statistics that are against you. And that's where you need to be praying and focused.
Another thing I think is very hard for our loved ones, especially our family, is now that we are individual entrepreneurs with one business, as Jillian's cousin and her husband told us once they started their coffee shop, Brett, her husband, came to me and said, well, now that I own one business, I have so many ideas for more. And that's kind of where we are now. And
we can't help ourselves. No. We're excited. Yep. We're excited just to like step into what God has for us and just really be moving forward. And our whole motto for our family and for our lives is to be a light. In our coffee trailer, we have like our opening checklist and it ends with be a light, bear good fruit. And I just think that's what we want to do. That's what we want to bring to the table, the supper table. And so that's just really what we're doing. But I really think that, like he said, it's like you get one idea and you think of more. But I will tell you, since Drew and I have been married, he's had 7 million business ideas. So it's really actually exciting to be doing something. We finally did it.
One of them, by the way, you're not going to believe me.
Oh, yeah, he created.
Two years before it came out, I was a sixth grade teacher at this time. 2 years before it came out, I was talking to another sixth grader saying, creating the idea for Pokemon Go.
He literally told me all about it when it came out. I looked at him. I was like, dang, someone else had the same idea, yeah. But they executed it.
Nintendo.
You could have had it.
So anyways, with all these crazy ideas and crazy thoughts of all these Avengers that we have a lot coming down the road as far as business ideas and things we're probably going to start. And so we want to use this podcast to share that with you. We want to use this to also have other great people on and learn from them, hear their ideas and what they've done and how they've done it. And we want to share it all with you.
Yeah, and we can't wait to learn more from other people who have walked these shoes before us. And we just want to continue to share with all of you. So like, subscribe, comment, share this podcast so we can get the word out and hopefully continue to be a light for you all.
So we do have to add some fun into this as well.
Oh gosh.
As much as our life is probably going to be fun for you all to watch. So I don't know, was it a year or two ago?
We were on our anniversary and we thought, what better way to start our anniversary with a debate?
Yes. Yeah.
That's really makes people fall in love.
Yep. And so we filmed a debate and put it on Instagram, and we started to call it the marriage debate.
The marriage debate.
So what better way to start this podcast than with the first ever episode of the marriage debate? So how this is going to work? There are common things that husbands and wife probably debate about. One of them that we have had is, where does the butter dish go? That's a debate that we've had before. It'll probably be a question on this episode, or on this show. So we have chosen a debate that most married couples probably have, and the rules are very simple. We will each pick a side of this debate. I will have 30 seconds to argue my side. Jillian will have 30 seconds to argue her side. After that time is done, we will come together and have a little back and forth debate. Once that's done, we will post it on our social media and allow you to vote. Obviously, knowing that most people are probably going to agree with me, but that's okay. We can at least let Jillian have her side too. And then on our next episode, we will announce the winner.
Yeah. And hopefully do some sort of giveaway.
Oh yeah, giveaways.
We got to do a giveaway, and there's no right answer.
Except mine.
Just if you comment with your vote, however you would vote, we're just going to randomly pick someone.
I was thinking like a giveaway. It's marriage. We could give away like a 3-day, 2-night marriage.
They can take our helicopter trip.
Yeah, they can take your helicopter
trip. Okay, well, pump the brakes on that, Drew. Okay, because we need a little bit more viewers. That's you guys.
That's good.
But I'm thinking like a sweatshirt or something.
Okay, a sweatshirt.
You know,
If you guys all click in, maybe by our 70th episode, we'll give away a trip.
70th episode, that's not very far.
Someone write that down. Remind us, 70th episode.
Don't let us forget.
All right, do you want to introduce this topic?
Well, the marriage debate today is going to be about sharing your food, specifically food. Not sharing in general. We might actually disagree about that probably too, but sharing your food. Drew, what is your stance?
My stance is that husband and wife should always share.
And my stance is, you ain't touching these taters.
Let me get this timer going. All right, timer.
Give me some of your thoughts.
Thanks to our handy dandy Google, 30 seconds.
Who's going first?
Ladies first.
Okay. So I get 30 seconds right now to try and convince you all and Drew that I'm right.
On your mark, get set, go.
Okay. My approach on my food is that it's my food. And yes, I can choose to share, and sometimes I do, but I shouldn't have to. I'm not obligated to. And most of the time I don't want to. Especially if I have offered to make you the same meal that I made for myself, say, for instance, a bowl of cereal, and he says, no, I don't want a bowl of cereal. And then I sit down with mine and he says, can I have a bite of that? Absolutely not. You could have had your own bowl. This is mine. Oh, time. Man. I had more to say.
Well, let me go first and then you can have
more
to say.
All right. Then we can fight it out. All right, 30
so
seconds.
So my side of this debate is you should share, correct?
Yeah.
All right. Ready? Go. So going back into the Bible. Very, very beginning of the Bible, God created man. And he realized that man was bored by themselves. So he used the man to then create the woman as himself. and they became one. They were of one flesh. So when you get married, you are of one flesh. So anything you have is yours together. So when you have a meal, your meal is mine, my meal is yours. And I think I should be able to have at least one bite of that meal.
That was good. Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Can I just make one statement? No, I'll wait till the 2 minutes.
It is. The 2 minutes is right now.
Oh, okay. Well, my one statement right now is, imagine how different the world would be if Adam took a bite of, or Eve took a bite of that apple and Adam didn't share with her.
that's good. Yeah.
Maybe it was set the par. Why?
That's really a good point.
Yeah.
Eve bit the apple first and offered it to.
Gosh, she should have been more like me.
Yeah, you might be onto something there. Men, where would we be in this world if we never were offered to share?
Here's another point. I don't want to eat a lot of Drew's food. Like, I'm full or I have my own portion. I'm good. Drew always wants a bite of my stuff. So I feel like I'm just sharing my food all the time.
Yeah, well, let's just, I did agree with you for a second, but because that was already done, I still think you should share. Now, to
it hasn't changed your stance.
No,
I didn't
hasn't.
Sway you.
So to your, almost, you're close. That's good. That's a good try. But to your point, what else, you know?
I just feel like if I want to eat something, I feel like I make myself my perfect portion and he wants some of my perfect portion.
It's such a little bite though.
But
it's
a tiny
little taste.
Do you see that mouth? That mouth is not taking little bites. Good try though, babe.
It's like every time I want to, it's like.
He makes me a bagel and it comes without a bite. He makes me a bowl of cereal. I know he took a bite out of that before he brought it to me.
Yeah, I probably did.
It's like everything.
It's
so
like,
just like, let me eat.
Every bite is the last bite of the burrito. You know the best part? It's like no matter where I am at in the burrito. No, that's the butt of the burrito. You can't have that part.
You know what we did once when we first got married though is I had a plate of food and I had like this good bite set aside. And I remember Drew just ate it off my plate. And he said, I thought you weren't going to eat that. I looked at him like, what did you just do?
I don't know everything about marriage in our first year. I've learned a lot, okay? I know not to take the last bite now.
Or the first, or the middle.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just sharing.
We're working through it, you guys. That's that.
That's that.
I hope you guys vote correctly. Yeah.
So we're going to post that on our social media, and I'm hoping that you guys know which way to go, and if you want a really cool sweater, you can vote for me. If you want a whatever sweater, then you can vote for Jillian.
I'll be doing the giveaway, I'm sure. So just keep that in mind. All right. That was good. Nux. We're still happily married. We may disagree, but it's all right. And he still will eat my food.
Well, the reason we can disagree now is because we've made it through the difficulties of disagreement. One game Jillian will never play with me ever again is apples to apples. That has taught us a lot about
it. In a pickle, and they're kind of the same thing. But here's the thing about Drew, like as you see, he will take a stance and make a point of something, and he will not let it drop. But then once he loses, he's not a sore loser or wins.
Once the round
whatever.
Is over, I'm done. But until the round is going,
always,
the game's on.
He picks on me is the thing. He goes harder on me than anyone else because he knows,
next
like, I love
him. Next episode of Marriage Debates is... Does the husband really pick on the wife, or is that just the way the wife views it? Because the husband just wants to win.
I just want you to like care about me.
Okay.
And be sensitive.
I can do that.
Like love on me.
You got it.
Yeah. I want to be favored.
Yep. So anyways.
Comment below your votes. Share the podcast. Like it. Save it. Etc.
Tell all your friends about it.
Thank you for supporting us. We love you all. Every time you guys listen, click, like, share, comment, etc. It is making our little small business hearts dance.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We can't wait to do more of these with you. Please comment below. Let us know what else you want to hear. But until then, remember, family isn't important. It's everything. Even